Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Monday, April 12th, 2021.
Boy, are tokens and coins doing great. Gosh almighty. Bitcoin, $60,944, up $1,000. Ethereum, $2,167, up $20. That is, Ethereum hit a all-time high today. That is super exciting. Markets are just doing great. I mean, ticker markets, tokens and coins and cryptocurrencies of the world are just doing great right now. Everyone is super excited about how it's all looking. Big losers for the day. I don't know. Bitcoin, Satoshi's Vision is down $5. Algorand is doing great. Oh, I didn't even mention my favorite coin in the world to talk about, Ripple. I didn't even mention it. I don't know how I didn't mention it. Ripple hit an all-time high of $1.44 today.
Wow. All right, Pat. We'll leave it there. So thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking and accounting and bookkeeping for crypto and DeFi. So if you need help with your taxes this year, make sure to check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. And Bitwave is still hiring for several different positions. So if you're interested, please email your resume to info@bitwave.io. So today we're going to talk about Uni V3, but first, a few items from the news. So Binance is going to allow users to trade tokenized stocks, and they're going to start with Tesla.
Super interesting. I totally understand it. Gosh, they are moving dangerously close to getting BitMEXed. I mean, I just don't see how they're not going to run into regulatory problems over this, but it is really exciting. I mean, I guess the high level is you can do it as a derivative of some sort. So whether or not that's going to be it. Now, the way that this article came out is it sounded like they were trying to actually allow you to trade stocks. I don't think that that's okay. The way that the U.S. laws are written now, Binance doesn't run the U.S., but of course, Binance.us does. So anyways, a lot of questions around that. But either way, it's pretty exciting. I mean, this is inevitable. It is absolutely completely inevitable. From our perspective, it's a lot more interesting once this gets to DeFi. As long as it's like Binance, you know, I could go to TD Ameritrade and take Tesla stock, so it doesn't really matter if I could go to Binance and trade it. Where it gets really exciting is once these reach DeFi. And I don't think it was at all clear from their announcement whether or not they're going to be, the tokens could be moved off chain, like basically off of Binance or not. But if they're actually doing, well, and then the other side of this, of course, is let's say that they are saying that these are backed by issues of Tesla, you know, shares of Tesla. The, you know, Binance saying that also has a lot of issues. So I don't know, super exciting. Not the first person to say it. Nothing has really panned out in this yet, so we will have to see.
All right. Next, so Coinbase is going public via a direct listing on Wednesday. Pat, do you think this will be a test of the bull run, or how do you think that'll
affect it's going to be, I mean, everything will be up. Wednesday is going to be a spectacular day. Buy your calls right now.
All right. Not investment advice.
All
right.
Never.
So let's talk about Uni V3.
Yeah, Uni V3. So the news broke last week while we were on like quasi sabbatical, I guess. Uni V3 is super exciting. It is a major upgrade. So let's talk about the problems that you could try to solve in AMMs. This is sort of the interesting thing to me, is that like there's a bunch of different problems that you could try to solve. Different people are working on solving different problems. Let's talk about, and then we'll sort of talk about the different problems, and then we'll talk about what the one that Uniswap chose to solve in their V3. So Uniswap came out. Originally, it was an Ethereum and token trading pool, 50-50 split. You know, as you put money in, it as you put like one token in and pull the other out, it changes the price based on a curve. You as the liquidity provider, and this is like one of the things that they're trying to solve, but you as a liquidity provider, you put in tokens at 50-50 ratio. So you would put in like, you know, one WEETH and, or let's say like 10 WEETH and one Bitcoin, something like that. You pick up exposure when you provide liquidity all the way from essentially zero WEETH and whatever that is, 1.1 Bitcoin, all the way up to zero Bitcoin and, you know, 12 ETH or whatever that is. Essentially, like by providing liquidity, you are essentially, you are peanut buttering your bet on that market across the entire curve. This is the high level issue that they have. And to be honest with me, this is the issue that bid ask markets, the traditional markets you'd see for stock markets, this is what they solve. When you have a bidder and ask, you are taking a very, very specific bet. You are betting that Bitcoin is worth, $50,000. You are willing to buy it at $50,000. You are not willing to buy it at $51,000. When you use like TD Ameritrade and you put a limit order in, that is what you are saying. When you use Uniswap and you provide liquidity, you are essentially saying that you are willing to buy or sell either of the tokens at any point on that curve. So AMMs are genius. I mean, literally, it is. I would not be surprised if like a Nobel Prize at some point is awarded for this, because it is just, there's such a brilliant innovation to be able to do this. But they have this problem that they are exposing your liquidity. Now, there are other problems that you have. So, for instance, you can see everyone who goes into a liquidity pool, and you can see exactly how much money they went when you look at the addresses. So it is very easy, based on looking at the tokens that are being held for a liquidity pool, to see exactly who is in that pool. In the retail DeFi space, that's not a particularly big issue because, I mean, honestly, like, addresses are pseudo-random. Now, there are places where they're not, and people have de-anonymized them, but like, they are pseudo-anonymous. Once you get to whitelisted exchanges, that all changes. So once you get to walled gardens or whitelisted or KYC exchanges, suddenly the counterparty who is providing liquidity matters greatly. This is a big deal on Wall Street. I mean, it is a very big deal on Wall Street to be able to enter or exit a position silently. That is, or very, very quietly. That is a big part of what JP Morgan or some of these banks, a service they provide is a very quiet way to enter or exit a position. So if you were a business and you were trading against an AMM and you were the business that was, and everyone knew who you were, people could start making assumptions about the markets or about your business or whatever based on looking at it. So that's not a problem that they try to solve. There are other issues. Balancers try to solve some of them with like providing different percentages of the liquidity pools. So this is another issue that like not everyone, when you go into this, you're basically saying, I want to have 50% exposure to WEETH, 50% exposure to BTC. Not everyone wants that. So for instance, I have tokens in the WEETH WBTC liquidity pool that's like 80-20 because I like that exposure profile from Balancer. I like to have 80% of my coins in Bitcoin, 20% in Ethereum, something like that, or whatever the flip of it. Like, I like having that sort of exposure. And really, when you buy into a liquidity pool, what you are essentially doing is you are buying into an index fund of those two assets. So that's another problem that Balancer tries to solve. So let's go back to the one that they are trying to solve for Uni V3 is this very particular problem of when you are providing liquidity, you are peanut buttering your bet across the entire spread of the curve. And a lot of people don't like that. People want to provide liquidity within a range. They want to say, hey, I like Bitcoin and WBTC and WEETH as long as the ratio is 1-10. But as soon as you move outside of that, particularly in some direction or the other, by some amount, I no longer want to take that bet. So this is the problem they're saying, is that I don't want to allow my WBTC holdings to go to zero if people are buying into WEETH, essentially. So what they're doing is they essentially designed a NFT structure. And this is NFTs in the non-art use of the term. It is a uniquely identifiable token that you put in your liquidity at a particular range, and people can trade against your range. This, it adds a lot of complexity. I mean, honestly, it adds quite a bit of complexity to the smart contract. Although they say that the gas prices are coming down. I totally don't know how that happens. I mean, it really is amazing to me, but I also haven't fact checked it. But they say that the gas prices are going to come down or at least remain the same. But they essentially will only pull your liquidity off of the range that you are specifying. So for instance, if you specify that range of, let's say Ethereum to WBTC 1 to 10, all the way up to 1 to 11, what'll happen is that your liquidity pool owning, will your percentage of the pool will actually go to zero of whichever asset's moving against you. So if BTC goes up, and you have that range defined, essentially you'll end up with all BTC and no Ethereum as it moves outside of your price range. So it allows you to make much more concentrated bets on what you think the price will be, and then not actually be exposed to trades that are outside of that range. It is a first move towards a what is more considered like a limit order model, or like a taker maker model in that way. So they're trying to sort of segment out what you are making your bet on as a liquidity provider in the market, and provide you more flexibility as a provider. So it should be really interesting to see what happens. The UniV3 is coming out over the next few months. There's going to be, I think one of the issues is that this is the first liquidity provider that's using NFTs to back it. So when I think about like Bitwave, you know, there's work, we're going to have to do a lot of extra work to be able to support this. Like we already support NFTs in some ways, but now we have to overlay NFTs with AMMs. Like there is certainly work for us to support this. That goes for everyone. That's going to go for Zapper. That's going to go for basically everyone who had designed their systems around one model of AMM now has to design around a totally different model, which is limited exposure, you know, NFTs against the AMM. It's going to be tricky, but I'm sure we will all get there. But it's super interesting, and that's what's happening, and it should give traders more flexibility with how they're making their bets, and that's what everyone ultimately wants.
Yeah. All right. Well, very interesting. Thank you, Pat. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right, take it easy.